You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Call-In Radio Show, Empowered Communication. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, and I'm the director of the Dr. Pat Allen One Institute. Tonight, I will be having a guest host, Andy Shaw. He will be joining me later. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the One Institute. The One Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of want training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. Tonight we offer this show and we hope everybody will call in and have their relationship or any personal work questions answered on the show. The call-in number will be 323-203-0815. Again, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. If you're not able to call in live, you're more than welcome to email me at the office and tell me your question, and we'll answer it on the radio show, and you can listen to the archives for the answer. My email is info@drpatallen.com. So I want to do a little bit of advertisement tonight before my guest comes on, Andy Shaw. Me and Andy and Kelly Ward, we're all trained coaches under Dr. Pat Allen, and the One Institute offers many services, and I want to just tell you what I'll be offering in the month of October. I'll be offering a ladies' relationship circle where women rise in love and confidence. And if you're attracting the wrong man who won't commit, I'll help ladies struggle with boundaries or second-guess yourself in dating, or if you feel stuck in old patterns, you know you don't deserve you. You are not alone. So many women face the same struggles, and it's not your fault. You just haven't had the right tools or community to thrive. So imagine if you could feel confident, feminine, and magnetic in love. You can recognize red flags early and walk away with ease. Communicate in a way that inspires respect and devotion. Be surrounded by supportive women who uplift you every step of the way. That's exactly what this group is designed to give you. What you'll get is you'll get weekly group sessions via Zoom. You'll get guidance rooted in proven relationship frameworks by Dr. Pat Allen's attachment theory, feminine and masculine energy. You'll role play in exercises to practice real life dating and communication skills. And this is a private support group, so you're never alone between sessions. It's a sisterhood connection and encouragement from women just like you. So the topics that we will be exploring will be healing past traumas, past patterns and trauma bonds, unlocking your feminine energy, boundaries without guilt, attracting secure, high-quality men, dating strategies that will actually work, and building unshakable confidence. The details of my group will be monthly. They'll be 90-minute group sessions. They'll be weekly for 4 weeks. It'll be online via Zoom, and it will be $100 per month, $25 a group. I'll be registering month to month. And if you'd like information and to hold a spot, I'll be taking reservations for the month starting in October. You can email me at the office at info@drpatallen.com. info@drpatallen.com. And when you sign up, I'd also like to introduce you. I have a 15-minute complimentary session to see if this group will be a fit for you. So please feel free to email me and ask me any questions. And what I also want to tell you about is Dr. Allen has many resources on our website. If you go to www.drpatallen.com, we have a free streaming. It's about an hour and a half video of Dr. Allen teaching chemistry, compatibility, and communication. She uses all of her tools and techniques and theories. It's about a 90-minute streaming video, and it's very informative for people that want to have either read Dr. Allen's book or want to catch up on her tools. And then we also have a recommended book list on the website. And everybody out there may be asking about Dr. Pat Allen. She's still alive. September 21st, she'll be 91. She still has an ongoing monthly ladies group that she offers. And unfortunately, those are closed. So I'll be taking over and helping with the ladies groups. I'm taking over Dr. Allen's ladies groups. And I'll also be starting my own ladies group. So I'd love to have some more new ladies to help them on their journey to find the man and using the tools of Dr. Pat Allen. And one of the best recommended book lists to read if you want to start this journey is Getting to I Do. That book came out in the 1990s, and it's a Bible for dating. I've had women call the office that have read it 20 years ago, and then they've picked it up and reread it, and they've called me to get more tools and skills because they found that they slack off and they want to get their skills back up. So this is why I offer the group, so I can help walk ladies through Dr. Allen's methods and tools. So hopefully I can get some people calling in. Andy's going to be on in hopefully in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Other than that, I'm just winging it tonight. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. So if anybody out there wants to call in and ask me any questions, I'd love to have some feedback and some questions answered. And I also want to tell you that I believe Kelly Ward will be starting. She does some life scripts. And I also have another lady, Patricia Eltage, is available for life scripts. If you want information, call me at the office. And the next coach that's coming on shortly, Andy Shaw, he will be starting men's groups. I know that most of the women that most of the audience that follows Dr. Pat Allen are women, but there have been a few men that have worked Dr. Pat Allen's tools and have gotten good results as well. Andy will be starting a men's group. So hopefully if you want some information on that, you can call me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can send me an email at info@drpatallen. And if anybody's out there want to know a little bit about me, I'm Dr. Pat's second daughter. I started working for her in probably 1991. Unfortunately, she had a bad office experience. Somebody had taken advantage of her office, so I had to go in there and help with the office. And I've been with her for 35 years now. I helped her with her seminars. I never really used her tools for quite a while, but after being around her, I picked up on them. Everybody used to say that I was so lucky being Dr. Pat's daughter, but if you've ever heard Dr. Pat, she was an alcoholic and she was an unavailable mother. So I have a lot of issues with myself, attachment styles. I'm an avoidant, so I get into relationships and push them away. So I'm very experienced on all the tools and experience. That's what makes me a great coach, because I understand where these women are coming from. And I've done the work. It does take time. This is not a quick fix. I give books. We do, we talk it through. I give, we have a chart, Dr. Pat Allen's manual that we'll go through. And a lot of the work is, it's you do the work. I'm just your guide. I see what you're doing and I help guide you to be a better person. Because as you know, in order for you to be in a good relationship, you have to love yourself first and then you share your love. A lot of women that come to my group, they're either an anxious avoidant, so they get anxious and they chase men and they're like always craving the love, which pushes men away. So I help women identify their attachment styles. And there's a great book on attachment styles. It's called Attached: The New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love. And it's by Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. It's a great book to identify. Because if you identify your attachment styles, hopefully you can heal so that you can be in a better relationship. the attachment styles are generally secure. The secure attachment style is the one that we all strive for. They had the parents that nurtured them, showed them love. So they're the secure. And then we have the avoidant. The avoidant is the one where the parent was inconsistent and came. They never knew when they would have love. So when they're out in the world, getting in relationships and they have a partner, they're very unsure that this partner is going to leave. So they get scared and sometimes they do a push and pull. They want you, but then they're scared and they push you away because they know that this love is not going to last because they didn't have the love when they were growing up. Then you have the anxious. The anxious is a little bit like the avoidant, except for they crave love. So they're a bottomless pit. It's kind of like they're codependent. They want more and more from you, and they can actually burn out another person because it's like their love tank is never full. They're a bottomless pit. And it's very hard on the other person to fill the voids in this anxious attachment style. And then you have, I believe it's the anxious avoidant attachment style, and they're a little bit of both. They're avoidant and they're also anxious. So there's four attachment styles, and if you read the book, you can find out which one you are, and it'll tell you steps and tools how to be aware of your attachment styles and hopefully how to heal or understand the types of people you attract, because usually the anxious people that crave love, that want love, chase love, are always basically attracted to the avoidant. So the anxious goes after and the avoidant goes away. It's like a cat and mouse game. And the secure ones, they can be with an avoidant or an anxious one for a while, but then they get burned out too. So knowing all of your attachment styles is a good way to heal your trauma bond from your childhood traumas. And in my ladies groups, we do work with that because as Dr. Pat, if anybody has ever listened to her seminars, she always talks about the women who always go with the avoidant bad boys because they get a high from it, the norepinephrine, the dopamine high, because they're in their family household, it may be inconsistent. So that's how they see love. So they go after that inconsistency in men because that feels normal. It feels that's what they grew up with. So that feels normal for them. Even though Dr. Pat Allen says, go with the quiet, boring guy who can be more stable and offer you a better lifestyle. But the ladies basically don't have chemistry for the calm, quiet, secure men. So what we do is we push you to go out with the calm, stable, secure attachment style men till you desensitize and those men become familiar. And then we push you away from the avoidant ones. It takes time because most of my ladies are still wanting the avoidant bad boys. And then they're coming back wanting me to help them fix that man. I can't change men. I can help you be a better person so you attract better men. But I, myself, and Dr. Pat's tools cannot change men. We have a motto. Accept him the way he is with all of his flaws, reject him, and move on and find a different model, or tolerate. And when you tolerate, you're half accepting and half rejecting. And when you tolerate, you can do it for a short period of time before you blow up, and then you're having your crisis, and that's when I get my phone calls for my ladies for help. So my groups will be geared towards all of these kinds of all this information, basically attachment style and trauma bonds. And then I also use Dr. Pat's tools. So Andy Shaw just joined me. He was another coach trained by Dr. Pat, and he's been through the trenches too. What makes us good coaches are because we have had to do the work and we know how it is to heal and have to go through the work. And it's a daily process. So, Andy, do you want to join the audience and give them a little bit about how you've had to go through the trenches to get where you are today?
Sure. Hi, I'm sorry I'm late.
That's okay. I shared as best I could on all my groups and trauma bonds and attachment styles. I probably rambled, but it's information.
Okay. So I was introduced to Dr. Pat through somebody else doing her trying to get through her mourning. She lost her husband. And she had mentioned that Dr. Pat was doing a weekly seminar. And at the time, she was doing Mondays in L.A. and Wednesdays in Orange County. And the federal government at the time was doing furloughs, so I was forced to take one day off a week. And as a habit, I take Wednesdays off and went to her class. And took a little notebook with me and showed up that first night and thought, oh, God, this is great. I got to show up every week. And that's what I did. I went every week. I took notes every week. I took notes on the things that I didn't know, which have added up over time, and just progressively got better. Over time, at the end of every class, I'd go and shake her hand, and eventually I started giving her hugs because I just liked her as a woman and as a human being. Recently, I read a book, The Myth of Sanity. You know, we're talking a couple weeks ago about The Psychopath Next Door by Martha Stout.
Yeah.
This is one of the recommended books. And I looked up some of the other books by her also. And one of them was The Myth of Sanity, with dealing with what they used to call multiple personality disorder is now called something else that I can't remember right now. But basically what it boiled down to is people who put in the work and take responsibility for all their own actions, whether it's their fault or not, and, you know, you can debate that. But the people who took responsibility for their lives, for their actions, for their words, for their thoughts, tended to heal the most.
Okay.
And those who kept the victim mentality did not heal, did not finish the journey.
That's a good point. I was telling them about my ladies' support groups, is because a lot of ladies are mad because what the guy's doing, but there's always one common denominator is what are you doing? Because it takes two people. Whatever he's doing, you're still participating, and that's still the breakdown. Because they're always like, he's doing this and he's doing that. I'm less, yes, but you're accepting that behavior. So I like what you said about and people that want to heal, because I've had my journey and it's been probably 30 years to get where I'm at. It wasn't easy, but I got there, and I still go back. And you know, I'm an avoidant. I push and pull. but like with you, Andy, what attachment style would you say you are?
I was anxious, and I've grown into be more secure.
Okay. And can you tell me what I was telling them, what anxious is more about? When you're anxious, you want people to love you. So you're kind of like a people pleaser. And what would you say your traits were to being anxious?
I'm doing my little search course.
Okay.
I like doing my little search. Let me see. Let me look at the avoidant real quick. As far as I understand it, and I was a people pleaser. What other people thought about me mattered more than what I thought about myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably a lot codependent.
Yeah, that's part of the trait.
Yeah. And I was less of an individual than I wanted to be and mad for it. And so I really wanted to learn everything I could.
One of the traits is fear of abandonment.
Yeah.
You need high need for reassurance. hypervigilant. You're sensitive to people's moods, tones, and behaviors. And you have a difficult trusting. Is that? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll nail on the head.
If you go onto that chat GPT, it'll give you a guideline on all of the attachment styles. And if, you know, I would say out of everything I've learned, the attachment style was probably the most helpful when I understood the pattern that I attracted, because you attract what you need to work through. So if you're avoidant, you need to hopefully go with the secure, even though that's not comfortable. But that's the work you have to do.
You mirror the work that you need to work on.
Yeah, I'm looking at least this one particular thing by Aaron Thedorow. Secures can trust fairly and easily, is attuned to emotions, can communicate upsets directly, leads with cooperative and flexible behavior in relationships. And that was not me. Sadly, it's become me, but it wasn't me then.
Yeah.
Anxious has a sensitive nervous system, struggles communicating needs directly, the I wants and I don't wants, tends to act out when triggered. Maybe.
This is the anxious one? Yeah.
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 And there's the avoidant, dismissive, downplays importance of relationships.
Yeah.
Don't really talk about these much.
Yeah.
Extremely self-reliant, can become more vulnerable when there's a big crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my girlfriend's more like that, my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, but you see how that picks? Because here's how it always operates. The anxious always picks the avoidant, and then they have the cat and mouse pull. Push and pull. The anxious is pulling and the avoidant is going backwards, withdrawing.
Yeah, and the avoidant fearful is more dependent in relationships than avoidant, and avoidant dismissive. Strongly fears rejection, guilty.
Yeah.
Has low self-esteem, guilt or not want to admit to. And has high anxiety in relationships, probably more guilty than I want to admit to on that one also.
Yeah. It's a combination. Let me throw out the phone number here, 323-203-0815. I'm going to be sending out a newsletter next month, Andy, to advertise the men's group. And I just gave them a whole script on my upcoming ladies groups that I'll be starting in October. I have groups going on now, but I'll be starting a new format in October, letting in more ladies. So I want to show that. So tell me, what will you be doing with the men's groups? Do you have
any? I like to know. Yeah. What's that?
I said, do you have any format or what you want to work the men with offhand?
Mine's going to be fairly ad hoc, meaning I'm going to address whatever biggest problems the people in the room have.
Yes.
First, that way we can make it a practical use of our time.
Okay.
And then, once we've gotten on an even keel, we can address longer term problems and longer term solutions. So that'll include training. It'll include, you know, working through the communication manual, working through some of the books. Like one of the things I learned about in that Myth of Sanity and the psychopath stuff.
Yes.
Is there's no universal way to tell if a person is a sociopath.
Okay.
But there is a universal truth to them. And it seems to be that they all want pity.
Okay.
And I'm looking at pity. Go ahead.
Let me ask you something. In that book, I'm just curious. Like a psychopath or a narcissist, did they get that from their parents growing up? Was there a trait that they didn't get or they got too much of from one or both parents, or what?
No, parents have nothing to do with it. I mean, other than birthing the child,
yeah,
you can't dictate whether someone has, you know, how they're born.
Okay.
So psychopaths are missing. There's like not a real hole, but essentially a hole in their brain.
Okay.
Where consciousness might be.
Okay.
You know, consciousness.
Yeah.
It does say that consciousness for the average person answers a lot of questions. We don't have to ask ourselves, gee, should I kick my dog today or not? Should I steal this lady's purse? Because it's right here and it's really easy.
Yeah.
Consciousness makes those decisions for us. But if you don't have it, then you have to ask yourself the question.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah. So like, do I want to screw this person over today? Well, maybe it could be fun. I'm kind of bored. And that also seems to be a common thing too, is boredom.
So, have you read, we talked a couple weeks ago about the narcissist too, because I get a lot of women that seem to always tell me they have narcissistic boyfriends. So where does the narcissist come in between the psychopath and the narcissist? Do you know offhand the traits of the narcissist?
I can bring up Kindle.
Yeah, let's see.
But it did say that all psychopaths are narcissists.
Okay.
But not all narcissists are psychopaths, so that's a good thing. What am I looking at here?
Narcissists, it does say it's low empathy and they're validation seeking and they control or manipulate. And they say it's a personality disorder. I wonder if they get it from their parents. Yeah. How do you become a narcissist?
Oh, I'm looking the wrong book. Let me look at that one. Sorry. I bought the Psychopath Next Door, Outsmarting the Psychopath Next Door, and something else.
Yeah, it says the narcissist is a mixture of nature, temperament, genetics, and early environment life experiences. Sometimes if they were overindulged or overpraised, a child may be excessively admired for looks, talent, or achievements without learning empathy or limits. They might have been neglected, emotionally deprived. On the flip side, if a caregiver is cold or critical or inconsistent, the child may build a false self, grandiose mask to protect against. And then unconditional love, only receiving attention when performing, achieving, or behaving a certain way. And then it's temperament and genetics. Some children are born more sensitive or strong-willed. Combined with their environment, this can tilt them towards narcissistic patterns. So that makes sense because I get a lot of people that are with men and the ladies are, they keep staying and they won't, they're not willing to leave, but they're calling me how to get him to stop doing what he's doing. How would you address that if I called you and said, Andy, help me. My boyfriend keeps calling me names. He stays out late without telling me. I'm all anxious. I don't know what to do. You know, I never know when he's going to be home and he never gives me any information. And I've been going out with him for over 2 years now. And we live together.
I would say do your relationship contract. As always,
he doesn't want to do any of this stuff. He says I'm the problem. I'm too controlling.
So the person complaining doesn't want to do any work. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, the person complaining is the one trying to get the other one who's running amok, staying out late, not cherishing the girl's feelings, not communicating. Name calling, insulting, intimidating with guilt and fear. All of the above. And basically what I tell them is accept him the way he is because we can't change him. Reject him and find a new model that fits, aligns with your values and morals and lifestyle, or tolerate him because what I'm seeing is you've been tolerating him for 2 years now, hoping that one day he'll suddenly change. But as Dr. Pat always said, once she said that motto about the dog, if you know, you kick the dog, he's your dog, a loyal dog, they stay. Do you remember her telling that story?
I don't actually.
She used to tell it all the time that when ladies that stay, it's like, you know how loyal dogs are? You can kick them and they'll still come home wagging their tails, happy to see you, and you can smack them around. And you're still there. It's like he's the master and you're the dog and you're always loyal to him no matter what he does.
Yeah. I like boundaries. The relationship contract for the relationship, the accept or reject. Like I would still use a relationship contract, but I use it on a separate piece of paper.
Uh-huh.
And write this down. Like if they're 51% valuable, accept them as they are. If they're less than 51% valuable, reject them as they are. Both are with love for myself. And those are, you know, flipping the coin, right?
Yeah. Well, most of the ladies are in the trauma bond where they're bonded to this man, even though he doesn't treat them very well. And they're all anxious. And it's just their cortisol and adrenaline is just streaming through their body of anxiety and uncomfortability.
It, Yeah, the third option is tolerate. Half love, half hate, and only hurt yourself.
Well, that's enjoy what you're doing. Yeah, tolerating. Yeah, that's a hard. That's a hard. It's a very hard. I mean, you and me can sit there and tell it, but the person on the other side, when I tell that over and over, they just can't hear that right now. A lot of people can't hear it, or they're not ready to hear it. They have to stay in the pain. As Dr. Allen says, you're not ready. You may have to take a couple more, you know, weeks, months, or years of this, of tolerating until you finally say enough. And when you finally do leave, you cannot even be mad at them. Remember, Dr. Pat says, when you leave, you have to be done. It's like you have empathy. You're not even mad anymore. You're just done.
Yeah. And what's done mean? Apathy and empathy. You know what they have. You don't want it anymore. And you feel sorry for them.
Yeah. That's a hard pill to swallow, though, for a lot of the ladies.
This work is not for easy days.
It's, you know, everybody says they love Dr. Pat Allen's work, but when you start really diving into it, they just see the sugarcoating about, you know, here's the biggest thing that, you know, find a man that cherishes you. But you have to understand, he cherishes you the way he wants to cherish you, because these women go, well, you have to cherish me by da 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 da. We don't dictate how he has to cherish us. We watch the way he does his cherishing, because each man cherishes differently. So we can't make him step up and cherish you the way you want to be cherished. Some people's cherishing is he's home by 7 o'clock, and some is he comes home at 9 o'clock. Either way, he comes home. But some women, well, if he cherishes me, he'd be home right after work, 7 o'clock for dinner. Well, he wants to work late and make money for the family. So he's cherishing you the way he seems fit, because he's seen as value the family, support the family.
So do you want to, I'm still looking for the narcissism, but for the time being, do you want to look at the DSM for what they say, antisocial personality disorder?
Oh, antisocial.
So according to the current Bible of psychiatric labels, this is written in 2005. At the time, it was the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or DSM-4, of the American Psychiatric Association. The clinical diagnosis of antisocial personality disorder should be considered when an individual possesses at least 3 of the following 7 characteristics. Number 1. Failure to conform to social norms. Number 2, deceitfulness, manipulativeness. Number 3, and I'm sure we're all thinking of people we know in our mind.
What are you reading off now? I lost track. What disorder are you reading right now?
This is the antisocial personality disorder.
Okay.
Or what they call sociopath.
Okay.
Number 3 is impulsivity, failure to plan ahead. Number 4 is irritability and aggressiveness. Number 5 is reckless disregard for the safety of self or others. Number 6 is consistent irresponsibility. And number 7, lack of remorse after hurt, mistreated, or stolen from another person.
Yeah, they don't say I'm sorry very often.
Yeah, it says the presence in an individual of any 3 of these symptoms taken together is enough to make many psychiatrists suspect the disorder. I'm trying to remember where I found that narcissist one too, but I can't find it right now. I thought it was like 9 things, but I don't remember where it's at. We talked about it before.
I asked you and recommended the book. Remember the book about the young bride to, what was the name of that book again?
Yeah.
Well, I have it because here's the reason why, is that there's a young lady who's going out with like a man that's married, and she's been going out with him for over 4 years, and he's still with his wife. And of course he has a lot of money. So she's the mistress and she's still counting on him leaving his wife. So her friend recommended this book. And unfortunately, I said, maybe your friend should read Getting to I Do first, because 4 years later, I highly think doubt if this man's going to leave his wife to get in another relationship that he's going to lose all of his money and start all over. Men do not like to lose their money in divorces.
Not at all. Ever.
So if you've been his mistress for 4 years, you're probably not going to be his wife.
Yep, that's where boundaries come in again. The book is only 110 pages long. It's pretty short.
Oh, and what was the name of the book?
Advice to a Young Wife from an Old Mistress.
Do you happen to have the bio on that to tell us what it's about?
I have it from Amazon.
Oh, yeah. You know how it says it has a little thing about what it's about?
Yeah, it says a compendium of wisdom and insight on love and romance. Offers commentary on such topics as the value of exclusivity, the impact of money as power over sex, and the relationship between emotion and reason. And has 71% 5-star ratings.
Oh, okay. Okay. So basically that book would be about mistresses, or what would you say the book would be about? Or new wives?
Says customers find the book's advice helpful, with one noting it's a great reminder for young wives.
Probably to be kind of like to make men happy, like a mistress, to keep the man happy so he doesn't go to a mistress, would you think?
I don't know. I'm looking at one comment from Lisa. Okay. It says, the message is clear, be who you are. And the person who is meant to appreciate you will be there with you. The author realizes that when you have no identity of your own and make yourself an extension of someone else, you're not interesting. You're not you. She's letting others know that they must first be an individual with a life of their own, then share themselves with another. It makes sense if you do not develop yourself, what will you have to share?
Yeah.
So. And that's part of Dr. Pat's teaching of being an I before you're a we.
Yeah, because I think that this girl wanted this book and that she could be the mistress and find information on how to be the new wife.
Yeah, this is about you and not the other person.
I don't think it's information on how to be the new wife.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No.
That's why I suggested she read Getting to I Do first. Because that'll give her all the steps to set healthy boundaries. If the guy really wants her, she'll know how to navigate towards a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, the next step could be, hey, you know, either put a ring on it and I'll be your wife, or be with your wife and not me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that, you know how that goes, though. Oh. That's taking it to crisis, and a lot of people are not ready to do that yet. Yeah.
And we're back to enjoy your pain.
Yes, that is true. Enjoy your pain. That's a good motto. And, you know, sometimes, well, that's tolerating too. So sometimes you stay in pain and tell the pain. But pain is a sign that change is needed and change is in progress as well. So that can
Yeah, it's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah. But it's how long you stay in the pain. Some people will stay a very long time. And like you were saying, they like to play the victim role. It's more power, too.
Yeah, it is the absolute power, most powerful role you can play in a game.
I talked to somebody because I always heard that negative energy is stronger than positive, even though positive is the better energy. And they always say, how can that be? Because remember, Pat used to say, if you put two people in a room, one negative and one positive, you'll have two negatives in a day or two. What is the reason do you think they would have that? Yeah.
Because it's easy. There's no rules to follow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's easy to complain. It's hard to do something about it.
Yes, that's true. I was reading something, too, that when you have the negative mindset, you're actually – it's the victim mentality where you're always complaining. You just keep rewiring your brain to never solve anything. To always vent and be negative. Well, not a very good place to be.
Yeah, let's remind our listeners of the games that victims play. They mm-hmm. are kick me. Why does this always happen to me? Stupid. Wooden Leg, Harried, as in a Hurry, Poor Me, Cops and Robbers, and An Alcoholic Addict.
Mm-hmm.
All those are self-imposed.
Mm-hmm.
And self-fixing, if you want to put in the work for it.
Yeah. So I try to, when people come in and they're always complaining, I try to get them to turn around. Because if you can think more positively with some solutions, you can get yourself out. When you just sit and complain, you're not solution-based. You're not focusing on moving forward. You're stagnant. So we always want to move forward. So that's another thing I help the ladies in my group. And it's, you know, of course, oh, it is. People, you know, I had one lady, you know, when you call, you know, oh, lend a ear to a friend, that's always not always the best thing to do either. So lend a ear to a friend that's complaining, because it will take the energy out of you as well.
Trying to find the questions when you're feeling, because when you're feeling negative, right, that's the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Rational idea to stop games. The way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision followed by action or inaction as soon as possible. Ask yourself two questions. What do I have that I don't want? What do I want that I don't have? And I tend to ask myself the next question was, what do I have control over and what can I do? What's the next step?
Are you asking me?
Well, those are just questions that I ask myself when I'm feeling bad.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So when you're in a state of trying, you know, in a chaotic venting type mode, you have to find a solution base rather than just dumping. Dumping's good, but you still have to have a solution base.
Yeah, it helps. Like, what are you going to do next is... As you know, let me rephrase my inadequacy of words here. complaining is great because, you know, it has a place in the world, no doubt.
It, you know, some people need, but then there's always working to find a solution.
Right. So the complaining only lasts for so long before someone goes, okay, get over it now. You know, what are you going to do next? You got it off your shoulders, great. So it's I think sometimes difficult to go from complaining the negative side to a positive side.
Well, what would you do to make it easier? Because I get a lot of women in my women's group, they complain about the men. Now, granted, the men they're attracting, it could be because of their attachment style. So they haven't changed how they're attracting men. So it keeps them in a state of there's no good men out there. So I have to switch that around.
Well, is there an answer to I keep attracting bad men? Is there?
There is. I talked about it. Attachment styles. If you grew up with inconsistency, you pick men with the same inconsistency. Come and go because you get that dopamine high. It's a roller coaster, and that is the chemistry that you think is love because it's what you experienced in childhood. It's familiar. So these women, usually anxious or avoidant, they meet you, and these people connect. The anxious always goes with the avoidant. They're just magnets because of the energy level, and they're good for a couple of months, and then you know, then they start doing their games.
So is there like a practical explanation or something they can
you have do? To identify your attachment style and work through it. And that's when, remember Dr. Allen used to say, you ladies, you have to go out with the secure, boring guys till you get comfortable with them. But they never want to go out with the secure, boring guys. Because those are the guys that will make you happy and consistent. But they always want the bad boys. You remember, and Dr. Pat used to, every seminar talked about desensitizing from the bad boys. And every woman I get in group they want the bad boys, and they start talking about the good guys. And I go, of course you can't like him. He's too nice. And they laugh, you know, and then they're talking about the bad boy. Well, do you think he'll do that? And they're trying to get me to analyze the bad boy because that's who they want.
Goodness gracious.
It's over and over. It's so consistent.
So am I wrong in sounding like...
You're probably the nice guy, Andy, so that's why you're not getting dates.
Well, it doesn't help them not asking either, so...
Yeah, the nice guys finish sometimes last because... I used to remember Dr. Pat said, you do not get the chemistry till you've been around them for a while. You start to, you know, remember they used to say friends first?
Then
lovers? If you want an instant flare, that's lust. You're bonding over just body to body chemistry. You're not finding out their values, the morals, how he talks to the waitress, how he treats his his parents. Those are important things you have to see, not just listen to what he says. Oh, well, he said he does that and that. I go, well, match what he says with his actions and do it for 3 months and come back to me.
Exactly.
Because everybody can say the right thing and put up a show for, Dr. Pat always says, remember, the 3 months is the perfect stage.
Yeah, so it sounds like they're after passion. And lust.
Yes. So they bond because they have instant, they've never felt anybody as connected as this guy. It's the connection is what's familiar with their childhood trauma. It's a trauma bond. They call it a trauma bond. And working on your trauma bond is one of the things that will help you pick a better man. And that's a hard thing to look. It's you do your inner work.
Yeah, we know how many people do that much.
Yeah, so hopefully...
One of them, audience. Be one of them.
What?
I want people to be one of them. Raise that percentage.
Be one of what? Oh.
The people that do the inner work, to do the inner work.
Inner work, it's hard work because it's easier just to be the victim and complain, Andy, like you said.
Yeah.
Woe is me. This always happens to me. There are no good guys. Every guy I like doesn't like me back, or they don't call me back, or he makes me pay for dates. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, words matter too. I'm sure that's coming on their dates, and they go, you know what? I don't want to hear this anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we haven't met 4 million people, 4 billion people on the planet to make that statement.
Yeah. So we've got a couple more minutes here. I'm sorry that we didn't get after we send out our newsletter, let people know we're still live and in action. I send out a newsletter like once every 6 months, usually around Dr. Pat's birthday, because everybody wants to know if Dr. Pat's still alive. And yes, she is. So I'll be sending out a newsletter. But if anybody gets this, is listening, please feel free to call the office or email 949-723-0338. The WAN Institute is a nonprofit, so we help with numerous low-cost services. Dr. Pat always, what was her motto? What was her motto, Andy? She wanted to spread the word. Yeah. For loving family, loving each other with kindness. So that's what I'm trying to carry on with Dr. Pat's legacy. So,
yeah, make the world a better place.
Yes, one person at a time. So with that, I want to thank you, Andy, and we'll be back next week. And hopefully we'll get some callers. And if you have a topic you want us to talk about, please feel free to email me as well, info@drpatallen.com. We're open to investigate and share any of our knowledge. So I want to thank you, everybody, and thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, audience. Take care.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.